Exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm probably the only one that noticed all the crazy stuff happening in the world this week, right? Nobody else knows what's going on. So, tonight we're going to actually want to dive into Revelation a little bit. I want to talk about the seven churches, and I want to parallel some of the seven churches there, kind of the things that are going on, right? I mean, you can kind of see when I'll get more into it, but we look at Revelation, the first part of Revelation, and Jesus is sending a message there. We look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. The book of Revelation, I mean, so many people, they look at the book of Revelation and they think, man, there's just a lot of stuff in there and that's pretty deep and it's really confusing and, you know, it's all the other things. There's different sections of Revelation. And so when you look at the first part of Revelation, the book of Revelation was given to the Apostle John on the island of Patmos by an angel. And this is the first part of that says was a revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Right? It's not everything in the Word of God is a revelation or extension, or it reveals who Jesus is. And so when we look at this, it does bear witness with the rest of the Bible. And so in the beginning, there's a message that's being sent here that John is writing, and he's sending to the seven churches in Asia as a warning and other signs and events that will take place in the end time. So we're seeing that the first part here is John is sending these letters to some of the churches in Asia, seven churches. Later on, which we're not going to get into tonight, well, I don't think we'll probably get through all of this, but later on, it talks about, again, what's going to happen in the end times. And we're getting a glimpse of that right now. I remember back in the, you know, back in the early 80s, late 70s, I remember when I was really, really young, I mean, it was like we were just ready for the rapture to happen any second. You know, that was kind of the flavor of the day. You know, you kind of see all these things. In the 90s, we were expecting the Antichrist to pop out of the EU or, you know, the European Union. So we're seeing these things that are happening. And so, you know, who was the guy that was prophesied? Jack, what's that? Yeah, Jack Van Impe, you know, and he'd have all these things and, you know, he'd dig out every little prophecy thing from every corner. And, you know, we thought back in the late 90s and early 2000s that, you know, Antichrist is going to come from the EU and it's just going to be, you know, all these things. And so we see that, you know, we're seeing little bits and pieces, but when we look at just kind of my own time studying, I was just kind of reminded of everything that's going on in the world about the seven churches. And so we look here, you know, in Revelation chapter 1, excuse me, verse 11, and it says that, it said, write in a book everything you see and send to the seven churches in the cities of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. So there's seven churches here that Jesus has a message for them. And I can see that this is happening in the churches today because, I mean, you know that history repeats itself to those who don't know history, right? And a lot of people just don't know history or they kind of create their own history, right? we're kind of seeing that where we just kind of write our own history. And you know, historians always say, too, those who win victories or battles write history. And so Jesus won the victory, right? He won the battle. So guess what? His word endures forever, and we can take this to the bank. So we're seeing here that in Revelation chapter 1, the preface of the beginning of this is that the Lord is wanting a message to get out to these seven churches in Asia. And then if we move down here to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, and we're seeing here, starts at a letter that's written to those in Ephesus. And It says here in verse 1, this is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in the right hand and the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. So verse 2, he begins this message and he says, I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. And I'm reading the New Living Translation, by the way. I've seen your hard work and your patience and endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. Here we go. So out of all these, you're going to see a pattern here. Jesus talks about the things I like about you. Now I'm going to tell you the things I don't like about you, right? The things you need to correct. Verse 4 says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Can we see that today? Then he goes on, look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place and among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans just as I do. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. So we're looking here, first of all, and we're going to look at some scriptures here too. They're going to match up with Revelation, some of Jesus' words he spoke before this. But it says here first, you don't love me or each other as you did at first. There's kind of a lack of love out there right now. Now again, he's talking to believers. And Rick Renner made a really good point here too, talking about Ephesus. You know how the warning came in the church of Ephesus is no more? Right? There is no church of Ephesus anymore. It's ruins. So Jesus does live up to his word, correct? Those who didn't, we see only a ruins of their existence left. So we're seeing here too, Matthew chapter 24, we've read this several times, but I want to correlate Matthew 24 and Revelations here. We are at the end times, I believe. And there is a spiritual battle going on right now. Matthew chapter 24, we'll start in verse 12 and 13. And it says, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. I mean, I think we're seeing this lately. So this matches perfectly with what he told those at Ephesus. He said, you don't love me or each other as you did first. Lack of love and an increase of sin always go hand in hand. It always does, right? If sin increases, love decreases. If true biblical love increases, sin will decrease. Why? Because you love others, you will put them above your needs often. Now the Bible talks about love yourself as your neighbor and your neighbor. Love God with your entire heart. So we have to love ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves, obviously. But we're seeing here, sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold, but the one, here we go, who endures to the end will be saved. Notice several of these, Jesus talks about continuing down the path and enduring until the end. The girls and I got into a big discussion today about, they have friends of theirs that are there into the once saved, always saved camp. And that's a dangerous camp. It's a very dangerous camp. Because a lot of Paul's writings are about living righteous, right? Revelation we're seeing here. I mean, if we're once saved, always saved, and we say a prayer and we're all done, then why does Jesus need to rebuke us? Because we said the prayer. We're all done, right? Why do we need mornings all throughout the Bible? Live righteous, live pure, live holy. If he didn't care, if it wasn't a concern, then Jesus wouldn't come back and rebuke us for to continue. Wait a minute, I said a prayer, I'm all done. I don't have to, right? I have family members that, you know, they believe that. And I think people are going to be very mistaken on the other side. Because again, Jesus talks about the one who endures until the end will be saved. It means what? You're continuing down the path until the end, right? And so let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. Let's skip down to verse 8. So we see Ephesus, and we're seeing the first part there, the first church, Ephesus, is talking about these people who their love is waxing cold. They're waning on their love towards one another and towards God. And then we see in Matthew chapter 24, again, there is a, when your love decreases, sin will increase. I mean, of course, you know, we all have perfect kids in here, right? You know, so when you get little kids, what's their thing? Mine, right? Their flesh is, they still have to deal with their flesh. A lot of adults are like that too. we're just kids in big bodies, right? But what is it when you have a lot, you're selfish, you want things, you want control, you want, you know, to have this toy or that toy, a little kids, and what it is, it's a working out in the process. You the Bible talks about working out our salvation. Apostle Paul discusses. Revelation 2:8 says, I write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. This is a message, here we go, from the one who is first and the last, who is dead but now alive. Verse 9, I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blaspheme of those who are opposing you. They say there are Jews, but they are not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Here we go. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. This is not a popular message in the church, right? Because a lot of the charismaniacs, and we're obviously spirit-filled here, but, you know, if you experience any kind of and we don't teach about these things because it doesn't bring in big offerings, right? Everybody wants to talk about the blessing. You go to a conference, there's no suffering, right? Hey, guys, we're gonna have a whole conference in the whole week, and it's all about suffering. Yay! Why don't you go ahead and spend, you know, several hundred dollars on hotels, and it's just going to be a great time. We're going to talk about suffering. No, it doesn't. You don't, well, CDs or tapes. Back in the day, right? Now it's downloads. It doesn't generate a good, a good return. We don't hear about that. But you know, Jesus is sitting there saying, "I see this, and this is where." And we're gonna look at Hebrews, but then what does it say? It says, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful, even when facing death," here we go, "I will give you the crown of life." What's he saying? Again, until the end. Be faithful to the end. And then I will give you a crown of life. Well, wait a minute here. We said a prayer, everything's cool, we're all right. No, Jesus is saying, be faithful until the end, then you'll receive a crown of life. Verse 11, anyone with ears must hear, must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed, here we go, by the second death. That means we're going to be with him if we walk the walk. Interesting, Jesus told the believers there's going to be suffering coming. There's going to be persecution coming. There's going to be these things coming, right? I just remember one time when I was in Bible college, I was working Adrian and I both worked for the ministry there, and some of us were just laughing because this guy who drove he was a minister, drove a Rolls Royce, and he said, "You're not spiritual if you don't drive a Rolls Royce." And I'm like, really? You know? Hebrews 11:32. I don't know what it is about Christians, but it's like some Christians, they, you know, we want our little safe haven sometimes, and it's like, I was just talking with somebody a while back, and somebody came against them because of what they believe, and they're like, it just hurts, and I just, it just makes me feel bad. And I'm like, welcome to the club. Adrian and I were just looking at each other, chuckling, and we thought, how big of an outcast we are around here because we speak in tongues and we actually believe the Bible and, you know, we pray for people and we believe in healing and all these other things, and around here you just, you know, you're nuts, right? Verse 32 in Hebrews 11, it says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon and all these lists of people. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. Here we go, 33. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice. I want to say that again. Ruled with justice. We don't have justice anymore, do we, in this world? There are actually men and women who ruled with justice. The book of Judges, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, Chronicles, right? We see these men and women who ruled by justice according to the desires of the Lord. And it says, by these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received, here we go, what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. Why? Because they didn't rely on their own ability. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others, here we go, were tortured, refused to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. I want to read it in the King James, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. Here we go. Not accepting deliverance. They might obtain a better resurrection. Guess who didn't, who refused a better acceptance? The Apostle Paul. Right? You read in the scriptures, we don't have time to go there, but you notice how everybody prophesied about him not going to Rome and not doing these things, right? And he goes, no, I got it. I've got to go. He knew the outcome was coming. He could have escaped. Why? But because he was committed to the end to move forward. He was in it to win it to the end. He knew on the other side, just like we read there in Revelation, there was going to be a crown of life, right? It doesn't mean we all have to give up our lives or all of these things. Adrian and I, we to in Tulsa, World Outreach Church is there in Tulsa, but in there, it's an old, the Brazese church there, and we've been there, and we've gone there, used to go there. It's an old missionary museum, and the whole wall is, they just have a wall of people that have been martyred. They refused. They did not accept deliverance. They decided they were going to do this. They didn't care. What's the big difference between people who do that? Because they love God. They love God, and they're going to do it. And some people, they just refuse to accept deliverance. Verse 36, some were jeered at. Others, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Ooh, that's pleasant sounding. That doesn't sound very good. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says they were too good for this world. Wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised, for God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. And so I believe what we're seeing now, and especially if you've got any kind of spiritual sense, you can look at the world and you can see there is a spirit of Antichrist that is being released right now. You can see it. When you watch TV, you can see it on people, right? You can see things manifesting where, you're seeing where there is no logic anymore. That's where you know someone is definitely influenced by demonic forces, when logic is gone. And like Adrian and I were talking, I said, and I'm still up for debate. Now, people that, I'm more of a pre-trib person. Some with tribulation, that means that, that we're going to be raptured before the tribulation. Some people believe in mid-tribulation. Some people believe in post-tribulation. It means we're going to go through all the tribulation, and then we'll be raptured out of here. Either way, just be ready, right? I mean, you can't control the rapture. I have no say over the rapture. God didn't consult me about when the rapture is going to happen. So I have no say-so whatsoever. And it doesn't really matter whether you agree pre, mid, or post. Some people, they just get, fighting mad about it. It's like, I don't know. I don't have control over it, In fact, Jesus doesn't even know. Only the Father does. So we don't know. And then people, they're predicting, like, it's going to happen on this date. It's like, I can just guarantee if you predict that, it won't happen, right? It won't happen, right? I can just go, it's not coming back that day, right? I don't have any control over it. And I'm not going to worry about it. And I'm not going to get in fight and argument with people, because I see in the Bible where, okay, pre-trip could make sense. Mid-trip, okay. Post-trip, potentially. I don't know. But all I know is this. When Jesus comes back and the rapture happens and those of us who are believers are gone, we're seeing a glimpse of people right now on the news and around us that have absolutely lost their mind. They have no common sense. They have no reality. Romans chapter 1 talks about they are void of judgment. It means they don't have the ability to discern right and wrong. Let's look there really quick. Let's go to Romans. We probably won't get all this through tonight, but we're seeing in this scripture here, in Revelation, this is a perfect picture of what's happening right now. Jesus warned the church, and we're going to get into some other things. I don't know if we'll have time tonight. But it is an absolute perfect picture of what's going to happen. Romans chapter 1. And let's look at verse 28, and it says, and the Lord's talking about evil, perversion, and all of these, immorality going on with, sexual immorality and everything. Verse 20 says, and they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't want anything to do with God. And it says, what God gave them over to a reprobate mind. In the column, the translation, or gives it a mind void of judgment to those things which are not convenient. What's that mean? Is God, they are so vile and they've lost things that God has just turned them over to a reprobate mind, right? They are consumed. Who else had a reprobate mind? Those in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? You read that and these people have no ability to decide up or down. I mean, they don't know. You can just read it with Lot and his family. The dialogue, it just they're void of judgment. And it doesn't mean that God is mean or anything, but he's just taken his hands off the wheel and said, fine, you're going to be able to do this. You're going to have to be able to, you want to do whatever you want to do, you want to do what you can do. You just be your own thing and you can live your own life. And God has turned them over, because remember, God does not force people to do things. He gives us a free will. That's why I don't believe in predestination. It's unbiblical. There's no such thing. Yes, in Colossians it talks about predestined. It means we are predestined. If you read it in context, we are predestined for God. He has predestined us to do certain things, not whether who's going to be saved or who's not going to be saved. That's the key, right? Because if that's the key, if predestined is true, then why do we have, you know, for God so loved the world, he should have said only those predestined, right? In 1 Timothy, God talks about, or Apostle Paul tells Timothy, I wish that all men would what? Come to the knowledge of the saving grace of God. Every person be born again. So we're seeing here that God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. We are living in the time of reprobate mind, and it's only going to get worse because I tell you what, when there is a rapture that happens, and we don't have time to get into the things in Revelation tonight, but when the rapture happens, there's going to be spirits released on this world, and it's going to get a lot worse than what it is now, right? I don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. I want to be with him. But you know what? We don't want to focus on, like, well, this is kind of a heavy message tonight. No, it explains everything that's going on because Jesus talked about exactly what's happening right now in the world. He warned the churches. And I have other things here, too, we're going to get into where it has penetrated. Excuse me. These things that are in Revelation have penetrated the church. And it's already here. And we're seeing a replay of these churches now. It's happening today. The things that Jesus warned about in Revelation chapter 2, they are happening right now in real time as we speak. In churches, in the world. It is happening right now. Let's go on here and we'll kind of finish things up. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. Just remember, all the chaos we're seeing right now in this world is a drop in the bucket to what's going to come in the future when the rapture happens. Because I guarantee you, the devil will not let a good crisis go to waste. He is going to milk it. And people will do whatever it takes when they're in fear. And he is the master of fear. And we don't have to have fear, right? Because we can have the mind of Christ. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding upon us. But we can recognize these things, run to God, get into the Word, and, excuse me, and we can definitely get the approval of what the Lord is talking about, the instructions that he's telling the churches, right? He wouldn't tell them to be able to do something if they didn't have the ability to do it, right? Like Romans 12, 1 and 2. We read that scripture, and the apostle or the Paul is telling those at Rome, he says the two things you need to do, you need to keep your mind under control, right? You need to renew your mind, and you need to keep your body under control, right? You need to keep your body under control and don't get into flesh, and it says that it's your reasonable service. And also, too, we need to keep our mind renewed. So we're to renew our mind, and we're keep our body under control. He didn't tell us these things if he didn't give us the ability to do it or the power by the Holy Spirit. So what that means is it doesn't matter what's going on outside these walls, outside of your house, whatever's going on, God has given us the ability to overcome, right? We've already overcome the world by the, what it says here in Revelation, the way, excuse me. In chapter 1, verse 18, it says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And what? Have the keys of hell and death. Jesus already defeated the devil. And we are the occupying force. We're enforcing his defeat. But the devil likes to convince people and scare people and intimidate people and doesn't like it when people stand up to him. Verse 12. Of Revelation chapter 2, write this letter to the angels of Pergamum. This is the message from the one with the sharp two-edged sword. I know that you live in the city where Satan has his throne, yet you have remained loyal to me. I want to stop here for a moment. Satan's throne has moved throughout history, right? It was in Rome at one time. It's been in, you know, Berlin, Germany during World War II, right? It's been in the Kremlin, you know, during the Cold War. The devil goes along, and it was in Babylon at one time, and it was in Persia. And we see there in the book of Daniel where, you know, that prophecy of all of the different, the, you know, the statue with the gold all the way down to the clay feet, clay, rock, iron feet at the bottom, those, all of those empires that ruled throughout the different centuries, his throne has moved to different spots. And at this time, this is where Satan's throne is at, right? And we're seeing here, yet you've been loyal to me, you've refused to deny me, even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's city. But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and by committing sexual sin. In a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who follow the same teaching. Repent of your sin. Now again, if everything's cool, for once saved, always saved, why do we need to repent? Because we need to endure until the end. And it says here, or I will come to you suddenly and fight against you with the sword of my mouth. Anyone who hears with ears must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches, to everyone who is victorious. I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven, and I will give to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name, and no one understands except who receives it. I want to stop here a moment. We'll end here tonight. But one of the things that we're looking at is this. I did a little research, and there's a called Lifeway Research about different denominations and different churches. And as we read in, get a little deeper into this potentially next week, do you realize that 33%, now this is last year and it's starting to change a little bit. And this is how propaganda and people who you see pressure, you know, social pressure and things like that, people will, they will, you know, go with the flow, they'll have the pressure, they don't like to be, you know, pressure, but we see about 33%, according to the study, weekly attend churches believe in same-sex marriage. 67 who attend monthly or don't go, only go occasionally, 67% of those believe in same-sex marriage. 81% of those who do not attend believe in same-sex marriage. Right? Now, over the last year, they've decreased, and I believe because of you know, it's been more political pressure and demands and manipulation, but over the last year, we're seeing that it's kind of drifting off a little bit, right? Obviously because of, you know, I think more leaning, you know, political viewpoints. But the point is this, that we've seen these things creep into the church, the mainline church now, where the Lord warns us of these things in Revelation, the second chapter, right? Let's finish up with Revelation chapter 2. We'll read verse 18. It goes deeper here, too. We'll close it. Writing this letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira, this is the message from the Son of God, whose eyes are like the flames of fire, whose feet are like the polished bronze. I know all the things you do. I have seen your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance, and I can see your constant improvement, all these things. Here we go. But I have a complaint against you, right? You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat foods offered to idols. I gave her time to repent. You notice how God is merciful here? He gives people time to repent, right? He's very loving, very enduring. That's why we're seeing the rapture hasn't happened yet, because he's giving people time to repent. He's giving people to get time to get saved. He keeps extending things. He's merciful. He's trying to get people time to turn to God, to wake up, to turn to him, and to wake up. So he's giving this woman or this thing an opportunity to repent. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they repent and turn from their evil deeds. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person, and I will give to each of you whatever you deserve. But I also have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira who have not followed this false teaching with deeper truths, as they call them, depths of Satan, actually. I will ask nothing more of you except that you hold tight to what you have until I come. What's he saying here? Hold tight to the truth. Keep going until the end. To all who are victorious, who what? Obey me to the very end. So we're seeing in the end times, we're seeing perversion, which, I mean, we're not shocked. It's only getting worse, right? But what it means is, if things get darker, our light can shine brighter. And you know what? Like we talked about, there's going to be people that don't like it. They're going to come against us. They're going to come against you. I mean, I've dealt with this for years. People who, you know, make comments, passive aggressive, doing things over and over. But I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop pressing into him. I'm not going to stop standing up for truth. I'm not going to stop doing these things, right? Some preachers, they don't want to talk about, again, I'm not up here constantly talking about, you know, politics and everything else too. But look at the Bible. We see people like what? Moses, Joseph, right? David, Saul, all these people, they were political people. They held government offices. They were men and women of God. The book of Judges is all about men and women who stood up and did righteous and judged according to God's word and his will. Right? Oh, you can't talk about those things. Really, because a lot of the main characters in the Bible, they were government people. They were involved in leadership. You know, we're just talking about, you know, girls and I have interesting conversations about things. Well, we were talking about things. They were in the truck driving, and so we're going to Emily's ball game and doing different things. We're just talking about the word and talking about things. And you should talk about the word with your kids, right? Kind of a good thing. And so we were just talking about different things, and they had mentioned something about one of their friends, and people have said to them, like, well, you know, God, like, they believe that, you know, God wanted Hitler to be, you know, in power, and that was his will and everything else too. I said, well, let's back up here for a minute, right? Let's think about the word. Do you realize God wanted Israel to be a theocracy, right? He wanted to be the one to rule over them. And what happened? The Hebrews, they saw everybody else had kings and they wanted a king, and God said, I'll let you have it then. It wasn't his will, but what did he say? I'll let you have it, right? God did not want Israel to have a king. That was not his intention. But sometimes we get things because that's what we want, right? Remember that old saying? You may get what you want, but you may not like what you get. You can't tell me that it was God's will to kill 6 million Jews in World War II, or 20 million, actually 40 million Soviets, or, you know, Russians during World War II. 20 in war, and then Stalin going ahead and killed 20, and then Mao Zedong and all these people that come in, communist leaders that, you know, abuse their people. Absolutely not. But what we are seeing is that in we definitely want until the end, right? That's what Christianity is going to be. It doesn't matter what peer pressure we see over here, what political person says over here, the Word of God, we are going to stand before the Lord someday, and we're going to be judged individually, every one of us. So your politician or this news place or whatever, this person, that person, they're not going to make an account for you. You're going to give an account for your life. And guess what? We're going to endure until the end. Amen? We're going to endure until the end. We're going to walk circumspect. It doesn't matter what things are happening. And when we see things that are happening in the world around us today, we're not going to be shocked, but we're going to go, you know what? We know it's going to happen. Even though there's perversion going on in churches, and there's bad things that are happening, and Jesus warns about it here in Revelations, the second chapter, we're seeing it all over again. It is happening right now in the churches, and the Lord warns us against this, and we don't want to walk down that path. We don't want to go there. But the great thing is, we can endure until the end, right? And it's, first of all, understanding, knowing that we can do it. Number two, we have the desire to do it. Some people, they give up, right? Well, it's just, you know, it's just easier to go with the flow. Have you ever noticed how, I think it was John Bevere, remember John Bevere, teacher, really good. He was talking about the Lord was showing him that, you know, people were just kind of like a river. You know, Adrian's dad and I had a good time years ago. He had a kayak, and he brought it to church picnics here before he passed away a number of years ago. But anyway, it was really fun. We went down to the Des Moines River, and I wouldn't eat any fish out of the Des Moines River. Maybe your guys are like fisher people, but I just, yeah, after floating down the Des Moines River, and of course, we grew up around the Des Moines River, southeast Iowa, but it was like, when you're in the Des Moines River, and you're kayaking down the river, I mean, it's fun, but you can eat the fish if you want to, but I just choose not to. So there was a power plant right outside of Ottumwa where we grew up, and it was pretty bad. But you know, the whole thing of it is, as we're going down the current in the kayak, you know, I don't have to really do anything because it just floats, right? It's easy. It's fun, actually. But you know what takes effort? Going against the current. Right. You know, you can be really popular if you just go with the flow and you just a yes person all the time and you just kind of do whatever. But it takes effort to paddle upstream, doesn't it? And that's where John Bevere was talking about how all these people, like they were, I can't remember, but he's talking about they were heading toward a waterfall in this vision that he had or this dream that he had, and how, you know, it was hard work. It wasn't easy going paddling up. But there's benefits there, right? There's so much following after the Lord, enduring until the end. And if we have I always like to say, an eternal perspective on our life, where we can say, okay, my life, it's going to be a flash in the pan. The older I get, I'm like, where all the years go? But the older you get, the more it's, wow, things are flying by. And he actually begins to settle into like, hey, I'm going to be with the Lord someday. Hope it's, you know, long time out there. But the point is, as we have an eternal perspective, we're always thinking of things like, how is this going to fit into eternity? What actions am I doing? Am I going to live circumspect with him moving forward into the end? And you say, hey, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter the joy of the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight in the name of Jesus. That doesn't matter what's going on in the world, it is so fabulous to walk with you, Lord. It's such a pleasure. Lord, we thank you tonight that as we walk with you, you know the best path. You know what's best for us, Lord Jesus. No matter what we go through, the world, all the junk that's going on in the world, we can still have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength tonight, Lord Jesus, that you have overcome. You have overcome, and we have overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony tonight, Lord Jesus. We celebrate you. We give you glory and honor. I thank you so much for your wonderful just peace and my brothers and sisters in the Lord tonight. We just love you, and we thank you for all you continue to do. Father, I thank you that we pray just for strength in our church, Lord God. Every person here, hallelujah, just a hunger and a righteousness, and just a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, that we continue every day become more and more and more on fire for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we're not lukewarm there in Revelation, or we'd be hot or cold, but Father, we thank you tonight that you're changing us, Lord God, that we're going from faith to faith, to glory to glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.